With confidence in the authority and sufficiency of the Word of God, here's the Emmanuel Pulpit and Pastor Mike Stone.
Psalm 120, verse 2 says, "Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue." In 2024, the University of Wisconsin published one of the most recent studies on the subject of lying lips. The report states that nationwide, the average American tells about 2 lies every day. But most shockingly to me, they also revealed that 6% of Americans account for the overwhelming majority of those lies. So the average American tells 2 lies a day, but most of the lies are told by 6% of our fellow citizens who just lie and lie and lie from sunup to sundown. That is, while lying is a sin that easily besets each of God's children, the problem of lying, at least in the United States, would greatly decrease if about 6 out of every 100 Americans would listen to Solomon's wise warning. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. Now, frankly, some of the things that the University of Wisconsin called lies are things that I don't really think are really lies at all in the biblical sense. Things like lovingly tricking someone about an upcoming surprise birthday party or a surprise gift. Telling someone that you appreciate a gift they've given you when you know from the moment you open it, it's going in the regifting stack. Or they counted lies when you tell somebody that they really do look nice with that new hairdo, even though you know they've got grounds for a civil lawsuit against that hairdresser. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. I think if we're honest this morning, if we tell the truth about lying, we don't need a lot of explanation as to what the Bible means when it says lying lips. We've all done it, and we know when we've done it. People lie about all kinds of things, and it can happen even to those that are born again. In fact, every person in the Bible, with the obvious exception of Jesus, at one point in time had some lying lips. Abraham, the great patriarch, lied about his relationship with Sarah. David, the great king of Israel, lied about adultery and murder. And no less than the preacher of Pentecost, Simon Peter, infamously lied about his relationship with the Savior. Just a couple of years ago, the CEO of the Southern Baptist Convention, our highest denominational employee, had to resign in national disgrace because he had lied about his educational accomplishments, had printed off fake diplomas that were framed on the wall of his office. It reminds me of the story of the little boy who was constantly lying, and his mama tried to teach him today's verse to memorize. And after several weeks, she said, "Son, do you know a Bible verse where the Bible describes what a lie is?" And he said, "Yes, ma'am, a lie is a very present help in times of trouble." With all of our college students finishing up studies and many of them heading home for the summer, I think it's appropriate I came across a letter that a college student sent home to her parents. "Dear Mom and Dad, I'm sorry I've not contacted you in several weeks. I've been just released from the hospital, and it's my first chance to write. I sustained major head injuries when I leapt from the 3rd-story dorm room. The building had caught on fire from the gas explosion. What else was I to do? But don't worry, Mom and Dad. My new boyfriend, Bill, has been nursing me back to health. I met Bill while we were both in the ER. He was there for a gunshot wound that he got in a fight with his girlfriend. They were fighting over him being 9 months behind on child support for the youngest of their 5 children. Bill let me move in with him while my dorm room is being prepared, and he was even nice enough to move all of his Buddha statues out of the bedroom to make room for me. I know you probably don't approve of me dating a Buddhist, but I hope you can adjust. We're already engaged to be married. Bill's daughters will be the bridesmaids. His two boys will be the ring bearers. We haven't set a date yet, but we hope to tie the knot before the baby comes. By the way, Mom and Dad, this entire letter has been a lie. But when you get my grades and see that I have failed math and biology, I want you to be able to keep it all in proper perspective. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. Now, in this one verse of Scripture, we find something that is common to the Proverbs of King Solomon. Many of the verses that we find in this collection of wisdom, they are set in contrast. The A part of the verse will set out one truth, and the B part of the verse will set out a contrasting but equally true statement. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. And the contrast that we have here, swinging on the hinge of this word, but, tells us we've got a choice to make. To speak with lying lips that will be an abomination to the Lord, or to deal truthfully and be met with the delight, approval, and pleasure of heaven. Now, from this one verse, I want to bring a topical message on the subject of tale-bearing and lying. Let's begin by thinking about the serious evil of lying. I fear that we have watered down what God believes about lying. We even often talk about a little insignificant, white lie. But when the Bible describes lying lips, the Hebrew word here is sheker. The Arabic form of the word is drawn from the world of the arts, of what we would call graphic design and painting. It speaks of painting a forgery. It speaks of painstakingly forging a signature to a document. It just simply means that you're wanting something to appear as something that it's not. I really don't think we need a lot of definition about lying. Again, we know when we've done it and we've all done it, but I want to just lay on your heart that it is a major, serious evil in the sight of God for three reasons. First, because it represents disobedience to the law. God takes lying so seriously that it made His top 10, the Ten Commandments. Bible students will recognize the commandment to not bear false witness, taken from Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16. When the Bible says that we are not to bear false witness against our neighbor, that is, we should not speak something that is phony, that is fraudulent, that's false. The Apostle Paul puts this truth in the New Testament. Ephesians 4:25, therefore, put away lying. It means throw it away, put it in the trash, discard it, have nothing to do with it. Put away lying and speak every man the truth with his neighbor. Sometimes we hear about the little white lie. Indeed, the University of Wisconsin study that I referenced in the introduction categorizes most of the lies they came across, in their words, are small, minor, harmless, little white lies, end quote. But we should not be surprised that a left-leaning, liberal, secular university takes such a low view of the serious evil of lying, but God's people should have a higher standard. There is no such thing as a little lie. Now, to be clear, the thing about which you lied may be a little thing. The thing you lied about may be relatively insignificant. But the lie that you told about the little thing is a really big deal to God and ought to be a really big deal to God's people. Proverbs 6, verses 16 and 17 tell us seven things that are an abomination to God, and two of them deal with today's subject. A lying tongue and a false witness who utters lies. This text, like other texts in the Bible, says that lying lips are not just a mistake, not a boo-boo, not a slip-up, not a bad habit or a poor choice. In fact, the Bible here doesn't even say that lying lips are a sin or transgression. But dipping his pen into the inspiration of the Spirit, Solomon uses the strongest word that the Bible uses to describe sin and says that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Now, you may as well talk about a little thievery or a little white adultery or a little white abuse as to talk about a little white lie. 1 Timothy 1 verses 9 and 10 says that the law, speaking of the law of God, the commandments of the Bible, the law is made for those who are lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and sinners, the unholy and profane. And look at this list. For those who kill their fathers and mothers, for murderers and immoral men and homosexuals and kidnappers and liars and perjurers and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching. I just want to show you at the outset that lying is a serious offense to God. I do believe the Bible teaches there are degrees of sin, but lying is always sin in the first degree. Why? Because of disobedience to the law. Secondly, because of distortion of the Lord. As Christians, we are to let our light shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. That is, people ought to be able to listen to the words we say and watch the lives that we live and get a good representation and reflection of God. But when anybody lies, even more so when God's people lie, it is not an accurate reflection of our God. Lying is a triune offense against our triune God. God the Father is the Father of truth. Romans 3:4 says, let God be God and every man a liar. Hebrews 6:18 says, it is impossible for God to lie. Psalm 119:89 says, his word is established forever. God the Father is a God of truth. Christ the Son is a Savior of truth. John said that when he became flesh, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Many of Jesus' teachings begin by saying, verily, verily, that means amen, amen, or truly, truly. When Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, in John 14:17, he said, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. You see, lying is a serious evil because it is an offense of both the character and the commandment of God. It's serious, thirdly, because of the disclosure about the liar. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. Now, there's debate among scholars as to what the word those references. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. What is that word those referencing? Is it describing truthful lips? You've got lying lips, and then you have those lips who deal truthfully. Or is the word those describing the people who own the lips and control the lips that are telling the truth? Is it describing a truthful lip or a truthful person? I think that's a distinction without a difference. I think that's the stuff that sells Bible commentaries. Because if you've got truthful lips, it's a truthful person. And a truthful person is going to have truthful lips. What I want you to see is that the words that we say reveal things about our own nature and character. Jesus said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Vance Havner, the great preacher of yesteryear, said, what's down in the well comes up in the bucket. The mouth is a window to the soul. Never any more so than when the mouth is deceitful and the lips are lying. You see, when a lie gets told, listen, the liar gets told on. The lying lips may be deceiving in one sense, but they're also revealing something in another sense. When the lie gets told, the lie is not the only thing getting told. The liar is getting told on. It discloses something about the nature of the person with the lying lips. Well, what does it reveal? Let me give you a few Bible verses. Proverbs 13:5 says, a righteous man hates lying. The word righteous could just be a synonym for a saved man. A just woman. A born-again teenager, a Christ-following little boy or little girl, somebody that's a Christian, hates lying. Now, let's just be honest about lying. If I were to ask for a show of hands, how many have lied since you've been saved? Every hand in the room would go up. And the hand that didn't go up would be attached to a liar. So I did not say, because the Bible does not teach, that a Christian cannot lie. But a Christian cannot lie and enjoy it. Because a righteous man hates lying. And the Spirit of God will just flat eat your lunch, and you'll have to go back to that person you lied to and make it right, and most importantly, make it right with God. Why? Because I hate what I said. I despise what I did. I'm broken that came out of my mouth, because that was in my heart. A righteous man hates lying. What that means is that somebody who constantly, continually, perpetually lies is not saved. Revelation 21:8 puts it more bluntly, that as for liars, their part shall be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And it's even more blunt in Revelation 22:15, where John writes that everyone who loves and practices lying will be in hell. Not that everyone who loves and practices lying needs to get out of a backslidden condition. But if you love and practice lying, that is inconsistent with the character and nature of God and the character and nature of a believer. When our oldest child was about 5 years old, she had, like a lot of children, started telling lies. And we decided that we were going to try to help her out. I had recently at that time, this is most of 20 years ago, I had preached a sermon called Honesty is the Only Policy. And this was back in a day where we made CD recordings. And so Andrea and I decided that we were going to take a little boombox CD player and put it in her room and put that CD sermon on repeat and play it all night long. And maybe by osmosis, subconsciously, she would learn the truth. Well, in that sermon, I talked about lying lips being an abomination, and I talked about how serious that word abomination is. It was a couple of months later, we were sitting at Sunday lunch, and out of the blue, our five-year-old said, Daddy, what does it mean for a man to lie with a man as he would lie with a woman? I thought, what are they teaching in God's kids? Some preschool worker is going to get a pastoral tongue lashing in the morning. But I swallowed hard, took my time, and I said, where did you hear about a man lying with a man as he would lie with a woman? Where did you hear that, baby? She said, you said it. I thought, I haven't preached on that sin or subject in some time. When did you hear Daddy say that? She said, it's in that sermon y'all play in my room at night. You said that lying lips are an abomination and that it's serious because the Bible also says that a man should not lie with a man as he would lie with a woman, for it is an abomination. I was trying to make a comparison between the severity of these two sins. And as I struggled for a moment thinking, how can I honestly answer this question in an age-appropriate way, she, confused a little bit about the word lie, like you're lying to someone and lying with someone, she said, does it mean that we shouldn't lie to a man and we shouldn't lie to a woman, that we should tell the truth to everybody? I said, that is exactly what the Bible teaches. We should tell the truth to everybody. You know why? If for no other reason, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. But those who deal truthfully are His delight. There's the serious evil of lying. Secondly, the simple examples of lying. I personally think this could be the shortest part of the sermon because you don't have to be a theologian to know what a lie is. We know what a lie is. Our hearts tell us, our conscience convicts us. You don't have to be a theologian with a PhD to know what a lie is or to know when you've told it. In fact, your own physical body gives off telltale signs of lying. Law enforcement experts and other investigators they pick up on these visual cues, these body language issues that you can just tell that somebody's not lying. We've even developed the polygraph test, the lie detector test. And for however accurate or inaccurate it may be, you know what it's testing? Heart rate, sweat. It's checking the fact that you do things when you know you're lying because you know you're lying. Remember, the word lying could be used to describe painting a forgery. Now let's just tell the truth. There's nobody here but us this morning. If you have somebody that is forging a Picasso, they know that they're studying the works of the great artist. They know that their name is not Pablo Picasso when they painstakingly forge that signature in the bottom corner of the frame. They know. You say, how do they know? Well, you know. But what are some simple examples of lying? I want to give you three words. Let's start by examining deceiving words. This is the easy one to understand. It's just when you say something that's not true. Calling in sick when you're not sick. Cheating on a test at school. Students, do you realize when you cheat on a test at school, you're not only stealing, but you're lying? You're portraying yourself as a better student than you are. I think a lot of the issues of plagiarism and AI-generated reports and papers could be done away with if we would just abide by today's text. Lying to your parents about where you've been. Hiding things on your cell phone. Do you know the kind of spouse that will not let their spouse have the password on their phone? Somebody with lying lips. Padding your resume. Claiming skills and abilities on a job application. By the way, that's going to tell on you. Lying about income on a credit application. Making up a story to make yourself look good. As the summer approaches, could I add this one? Lying at a theme park or a restaurant about the age of your child. Listen, whatever the price break is between the adult ticket, the teenager ticket, and the child's ticket, I promise you it is not worth your integrity in the eyes of your children. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Now, there are some people, you know that they're using deceiving words because their mouth is moving. You've heard of people who are diabetics? I've known some people who are liabetics. Because if their mouth is moving, you can bet that they're lying. Now, we live in a day of constant communication, and much of that is technological communication. So I don't think I'd do any disservice to the text to say that lying emails are an abomination to the Lord. Lying Facebook posts. Lying Instagram posts. Lying Snapchats. How about this? Lying thumbs are an abomination to the Lord. You see, the problem can manifest itself in a lot of different ways because the problem is not the lip. The problem is the sinful depravity of the human heart. Stated more simply, liars don't, they're not liars because they lie. They lie because they are liars. The lying lips are a symptom. Now, you know that a high fever in the physical body can be a problem of its own. And if you have a child, especially, and they get a 103, 104 temperature, that fever can be a problem of its own. But if all you do is medicate the fever, the Tylenol, the Advil, you never get down to finding out what is the infection that caused the fever, you're not dealing with the root of the problem. Now, to be sure, lying lips are a problem of their own, and if you have lying lips, you ought to dry it up and stop it right now. But you've not yet dealt with the real issue, because the lying lips are but a symptom of the underlying lying heart. Deceiving words. Secondly, misleading words. This is when we say something that is technically true, but it's not the truth. It's not technically a lie, but we knew we were lying because we knew we were conveying something that was not true. By the way, the fastest way to break the truth is to stretch it. You say, well, I was just shading the truth a little bit. Truth doesn't grow well in the shade. With our spring and summer gardens, you know, when you go to plant something, you want to look, they have that little plastic sticker in the plant that tells you, does it grow well in full shade, partial shade, full sunlight? Let me tell you where truth grows the best, in the full light of the noonday sun. Preacher, what do you mean by misleading words? Well, it's when you say something that, I mean, it's technically true, but it's just not the truth. So you're running 20 minutes late for work because you got up and spent too much time watching cat reels on your Instagram feed. And as you drive through downtown Blackshear, you get to the railroad tracks just in time to have two cars in front of you as the caboose goes by. You go to work and you say, I'm sorry, I'm late. There was a train. Well, there was a train, but that didn't have anything to do with you being 20 minutes late. Adrian Rogers, the great preacher, used to tell a story when he was in Bible college, pastoring his first church. He and his wife were newlyweds, and like most newlyweds, they were broke, and he did not have money to repair a headlight on his car that was out. And one evening he was driving off to preach and a police officer pulled him over. Mr. Rogers, did you know that you have a headlight that's out? And he said, my headlight's out? And the officer said, well, I'll just give you a warning this time. You need to get that light fixed. He said he was barely down the road before he had an unseen passenger in the car with him. It was the Holy Spirit. Adrian, you lied to that police officer. Lord, I didn't lie. I just asked a question. I have a headlight that's out? How many of you know of all the persons that you can lie to, the Holy Ghost isn't one of them? What he said was technically true, just asked a question, but he was communicating something that was not true. Students, when you leave school and you go three different places, you get home and your mama says, you're a little late, where have you been? And you name one of those places. Well, I stopped by Johnny's. Well, you said that because you know Johnny's house is not the one that mama's been upset about. You conveniently left off the two places that she's told you not to go. It's true, you went there, but you communicated something that's misleading and you know it. Calvin Miller was a longtime professor at Southwestern Baptist Seminary. And he used to tell the story of in his early days, he came home from lunch, for lunch and didn't want to go back to work. You ever been there? So he told his wife, fix me a sandwich and bring it into the bedroom. So she did, and he took that sandwich, laid down in the bed, turned on the ceiling fan over the bed, threw that sandwich up in the blades of the ceiling fan. It went all over the place. Then he called the office and said, I'm not going to be able to be back in. I came home for lunch, but I'm flat on my back in the bed and just threw my lunch up all over the bedroom. Or the husband who says, is that a new dress? And you say, this old thing? You know good and well, he's not asking, do you know when it was manufactured in Sri Lanka? He wants to know when you bought it off of Shein. I'm sorry, was that too personal? Too soon? If you're ever called to testify in court, you know they want you to take an oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Don't use deceiving words. Don't use misleading words. Thirdly, I think that gossiping words can be lying lips. You know, the commandment against bearing false witness was actually set in a judicial context. In theocratic Israel, their judicial system was based on the witness of a couple of witnesses. If someone could be imprisoned or punished or put to death because of the witness of one or two witnesses, it was a serious thing to bear a false witness. What I want you to see is the commandment about bearing false witness was not something you're lying about yourself. You're testifying that somebody else did something. And very often, gossip is a form of bearing false witness because you're acting like you know it to be true. Did you hear about so-and-so? Oh, you didn't? Let me tell you what happened. Listen very carefully. If you were not an eyewitness or an ear witness, you're a false witness. If you didn't see it with your own eyes, hear it with your own ears, experience it in person, you don't know that that happened. And you're bearing false witness. You say, well, I know, preacher. I'm always careful to say, preacher, I don't know that this is true, but I heard. If you don't know that it's true, then you ought not be telling it. You say, well, I do know that it's true. Maybe all the more reason not to tell it. Lying lips could just be some hot, juicy gossip. The serious evil of lying, the simple examples of lying. Let me move quickly to conclude the spiritual escape from lying. You see, if you have a problem with lying, I don't want you to feel beat up. I want you to leave feeling cleaned up, because there's a remedy for it. It's not washing your mouth out with soap. It's washing your soul in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the remedy for liars and the lies that liars tell. Three things we see this morning. First, you might need conversion for your soul. I've already shown you in the Word of God that if you consistently and regularly lie and are not broken over it, you're most likely lost. And you need to be saved. Now, there are a number of things that I could examine about my life to see if I have a genuine faith. The Bible says, let a man examine himself. I could look, for example, at my church attendance. Psalm 122:1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I could examine my contribution record. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. I could examine my love for the Word of God. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I could take a look at the way that I treat other people, because Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And I don't know if you noticed or not, but I just used a lot of our monthly memory verses. Or if I want to examine the genuineness of my faith, I could just cup my hand like this, like I'm going to do a royal wave, and put it right up here to my jaw, like we used to hold the old corded phones up to our face. Put it right there, cup it, so that the words out of my mouth more easily come back into my ear. And if you'll listen to the words that come out of your mouth, you'll have a real good idea of what's going on in the heart. And lying lips that are an abomination to the Lord are attached to a heart that is lost in trespasses and sins. The good news is, Jesus Christ is able to forgive liars. Jesus is able to cleanse the deceptive mouth and the lying lips. You're not a better liar than Jesus is a forgiver of sin, and today you can be saved. You might need conversion for your soul. You might just need confession of your sin. You see, the remedy for sin is not merely to stop, although you should. The remedy for sin is confession and repentance. 1 John 1:9 is another of our memory passages, where the Bible simply says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, let me ask you a couple of questions. You don't have to answer out loud, because I told my wife last night, this will not be a Bible conference message. People are not going to be shouting me down. No one will be throwing babies or Bibles from the balcony, and the babies in the balcony are very grateful for that. If I were to ask for a show of hands, and I'm not, how many have lied since you've been saved? As I've already indicated, hands would go up everywhere. When was the last time you asked someone to forgive you because you lied to them? When was the last time somebody came to you and said, I need to ask you to forgive me? What I said to you was not true. And I've asked God to forgive me, and I want you to forgive me. You want to escape from the bondage of lying lips. Get your heart right with God. Get your heart and testimony right with the people to whom you've lied. And could I give you just a little advice? You want to start rebuilding trust with people to whom you've lied? Nothing begins to rebuild trust like the confession of sin. Because somebody that's broke enough to come tell you, "Mama, Daddy, I lied to you. Honey, I've not been telling you the truth about whatever it is. And I'm sorry, I'm broken, and I ask you to forgive me." That's somebody that God's working on and is probably going to be less likely to lie to you in the future. So how can I escape? Well, you might need conversion for your soul. You definitely need confession of your sin. And I would submit you might need consecration to your Savior. You see, on my own, my flesh is not bothered by lying, but under the lordship of Jesus Christ, I want to speak and live in a way that characterizes the God of perfect truth. James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." You see here, the Bible does not merely say resist the devil and he'll flee, but you must first submit yourselves, therefore, to God. To say, "Lord, I've become a person that doesn't always tell the truth, and I want to submit my life to you, and I need your help to make me an honest person." These days, when I get gasoline in my truck, I like to go to a certain convenience store. I've got one of those loyalty cards where you can enter in your telephone number and get some money off each gallon. And these days with $4 gasoline, I'm really excited when it says you saved 20 cents per gallon. That's a Baptist preacher hitting the lottery without even having to buy a lotto ticket. 20 cents off $4 gas, that's 5%. That number stuck in my mind this week because I came across a survey that said we pay an additional 5% for everything we buy because of the cost of lying. Manufacturers have to figure in the cost of lying lips in their business transactions. I mean, if they're making a garment, they've got to figure in the cost of the goods, the cost of shipping, the cost of personnel, and somewhere along the way, somebody's going to lie to me about something. Somebody's going to lie and clock in a coworker too early. They're going to lie and clock a coworker out too soon. They're going to lie about this or lie about that. Somebody is going to buy this garment, take it home, wear it to their special event, and then take it back for a refund. That's a lie. They got to factor all that in. One study says that retailers add as much as 20% for all forms of deception, including things like shoplifting. What that means is you and I could get about a 5 to 20% discount on everything we purchase if we were just honest. But today's text teaches us there's a greater cost, one that cannot be calculated on a calculator or found by an accountant, a greater cost to lying, a greater blessing to being truthful. And here it is. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. And Father, I ask
you
to...
You've been listening to the Emmanuel Pulpit, where Pastor Mike Stone is committed to walking you verse by verse through the books of the Bible. You can contact us through our church website at ebchurch.net or visit pastormikestone.com. Thanks for joining us for today's episode of the Emmanuel Pulpit.